Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And happy Throwback Thursday to all of our friends out there.
Welcome back again.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Your dreams were your ticket out. That's Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh, see, once again, you with the your passion.
My TV theme songs.
Oh, my gosh. I know. You know what I just discovered
what?
For the first time? Sutton and I was watching, you know, the CNN does those like 80s. Like,
yeah.
All right, so I get sucked into that. Well, then they started talking about Cheers. Now I'm going to be 36 next month. Of course, I grew up watching Cheers, but as a child, so I don't understand the whole bar, you know, that mentality. Now, as a 36-year-old, I enjoy a good bar, and living in Ditmars, we have our bar, and we have the, you know, and they know us, and all of that. So we saw them talk about Cheers on the 80s show, and we were like, "This is amazing. We need to watch this." Last night we watched 4 episodes, the pilot and the first 2 episodes. It's unbelievable. The writing, I mean, I know it's like, hello world, duh, welcome Kevin. I know. But sometimes you think like Three's Company, it's like dated, it's funny. Cheers is so well acted and written, and it's the start of all those careers of all those people. But I'm just simply blown away by the theatricality. And there's almost like a vaudeville nature where they're like, cover me, I'm going in. And he takes out a blanket and throws it on him. You know, it's that kind of stuff. It's hysterical.
I think the pilot of Cheers, pilot of Golden Girls, and the pilot of The Office, I think are the three best pilots ever created.
That's cool.
Because they just set up everything for you.
The exposition and the entertainment.
And it's an interesting story because they do it in ways that are very interesting and subtle. And at the same time, you're learning about the characters.
Right. And Shelley Long is the, you know, the guy that leaves her and like the married guy.
I see on your Twitter that you had said that?
Yes.
Carla from Cheers.
Yes.
Is anybody's all grown up?
It's definitely anybody's grew up and became Carla. I mean, like, there's no other way around it. I mean, she's that second episode where she's like, no, the first one, she's so mean to her, but she jumps on that guy because he's the Yankees fan because he's like talking about like bashing everybody, and she has to go to anchor management.
That's pretty genius.
It's anybody's.
Cheers is wonderful.
I'm late to the party, and I'm happy that I'm there now.
That's so sweet.
Yes.
So that's what you guys do over in Ditmars, the story of
Ditmars.
Well,
last night it was late night, and yes, we threw on the old Cheers.
Good
and it
for
was
you
awesome.
Guys. I live in Harlem.
Yes, you
and,
do.
And that's actually where Kevin and I are recording from today.
Yes.
And so you might hear little blasts, honestly, of mariachi music playing. We just
that's
did,
not it. That
we
was just
did an interview, and we were so worried that you would hear. No, that isn't it. But God bless you for redefining mariachi music. You might hear like maracas going off every once in a while. That's actually just me when I. That's just me. That's just my sound.
That's his text tone when he gets a text.
I wish I had something fun.
Is that wrong? Should I not do that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
No. All right.
This actually goes very well with my my throwback today.
Oh my gosh!
Not quite this kind of music, but like a little. I just did like a shimmy in my seat.
Kevin just shook all over my sofa, which. Means if you're selling your sofa, hit me up. Need a new one. Got to get a new one.
Woo. So I'm going to just dive right in with mine.
Please dive right in.
Mine is a movie, but it's the soundtrack, and I'm going to say soundtrack because it's not a theatrical movie, but it is theatrical to me because it is a movie that has songs that are sung by characters to further the plot, as well as, let's say, you know, mood-setting songs as well.
This is Mighty Ducks 3.
Can you imagine singing on the ice? Just like
singing on the ice.
I'm gonna make that shot. Make that shot.
Goal.
Goal.
That sounded horrible.
I don't.
Do they make goals in hockey?
Yeah, I think so.
There's not been a hockey musical yet, so I can't tell you anything about.
Good
it.
Luck with that one.
I bet you Mighty Ducks will be a movie at some point. Why am I talking about the Mighty Ducks?
It is a movie.
Grandpa needs to lay down.
So this one is a cartoon movie, and it is made by 20th Century Fox, not Disney. It is probably one of my favorite cartoon movies. It's of the last 10 years.
Oh, last 10 years? Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so even the last 5 years, I would say. It has some great voice actors and great singing actors in it. It takes place in an exotic locale.
Not Madagascar.
No, no. But right, I think it was inspired probably by Madagascar. In fact, it was supposed to be... Originally, this movie is about macaw birds, but it originally was about a penguin that shows up. But then that penguin movie happened, or it's like an offshoot of Madagascar, and then they changed it to bird. It's called Rio.
Rio.
Rio, as in Rio de Janeiro.
I've never seen Rio. Okay, what is this?
That's your homework. You got to see it.
I'm going to watch it's, Rio.
And the soundtrack, I've listened to it probably 550 to 100 times. It's great workout music. So I went to Rio de Janeiro a couple years ago, 3 years ago with Deidre Goodwin, and we taught down there for 3 weeks. And this is a cartoon movie, but when I saw the cartoon, when it started, it captured the essence of Rio when I was there. Like that feeling of crazy life, happiness, joy, music everywhere. And the movie captured. Now, the movie is about, of course, it's about talking animals, of course, that
sing. Why do you have to watch a movie? We could open up my window. Do you not hear this party that's happening outside?
So it's a story. It's a classic. It's a story of this bluebird, McCall, a Spix's McCall, who lives in like the Midwest. Is one of a very rare bird that comes to find the museum in Rio needs him to mate with the same version that they had, the female version. So the owner who owns a bookshop, she agrees to come. She's kind of a recluse a little bit. She doesn't socialize much with men. And of course they end up being together, the guy that runs the museum and her. But the two birds, they throw them in together in the same pen, hoping they'll mate. And of course they hate each other. It's voiced by Jesse Eisenberg. That's his name, right?
Jesse Eisenberg, yep. Yeah.
And Anne Hathaway, who is a musical theater singer. She grew up doing shows in high school in Connecticut. You know?
She sounds beautiful, by the way. I've heard her sing live. She's great. She's got a great voice.
Yeah. And he's actually not horrible. Neil Patrick Harris was supposed to do it, and then something happened, and he couldn't play the role. So Jesse sings and acts the part in the movie. By the end of there's another evil bird who works with the smugglers, and they separate the birds. One of the birds gets captured, and it's all about rescuing. It's a classic storyline, but it all takes place in Rio, and it has this incredible, infectious score that I salute the people who put it together, because they used real Brazilian artists like Sergio Mendes. I have like three of his records at home. He brought kind of Brazilian bossa, like samba music to America, like in the 60s. It's great, you know, fun little arrangements that he has. So he was a consultant on the album. The director of the movie is Brazilian, so you get an authentic feel of it, if you will. But the songs further the plot. So you have this actor named, you know, Jermaine Clement. He's a New Zealander. He was, and if you watch Flight of the Conchords, he's like the dark-haired guy, and he's
yes.
So he plays the evil bird who is like the bad guy. He's like the evil cockatoo, but he's all like scarred and disfigured. And so his song that you introduce the character is this song where it's called Pretty Bird, and you get this villain character's whole reason why. He hates every other bird. He wants to destroy all of them because he was destroyed in the same way.
Wait, who wrote this again? Who wrote this again?
Oh my gosh! The music. It was all different writers. So
all
I can't
different
even
writers
say,
just coming
yeah,
together
it's
for this.
All different writers that wrote the music. Sergio Mendes was consultant. Esther Dean sings a song. She's a Portuguese singer.
Yeah, brilliant.
And it's fun. But he sings his own song, and it's like a total musical theater patter song. And it's rhyming, and it's funny, and it makes you laugh, and he you get the inside of his character. The opening number is a full production number that's like a theatrical production. I mean, like, it's a full introduction to Rio.
Love
and the
it.
Music is toe tapping and infectious and fun. Will.i.am is on it. He plays one of the characters and sings a rap song, and then Jamie Foxx is in it and sings a love song, and they're like the sidekick birds that are funny and everything. And all the while, it centers around Carnival, of course, which is the most famous, you know, party of the year in Rio, and I was there right before it, and the beat, the like we're hearing outside the window, but slightly different. They introduced that into the score, and I will say I'm sure like our Brazilian students might listen to it and be like, that's not bossa nova, but it's close. I mean, it's a little slightly Disneyfied, if you will, even though this isn't Disney. But like, for instance, they do like a Carnival song, and then like the underscoring comes on underneath, and then it melds into the one big, you know, beautiful soaring number. I question anyone to listen to that soundtrack and not fall in love with the music immediately.
Immediately. So cool.
I don't actually watch it from beginning to end, but wherever it is, you just catch it in that moment, and then you watch it for a little bit, like 20 minutes. And then you're like, all right, I'm good. Oh, phone call. Hi, Mom.
Mine is Mrs. Doubtfire.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's a good one. Surprised that hasn't been made into a musical.
You know, that kind of... I thought I heard something that they were going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That they were going to adapt it.
Yeah. Seems ripe for it.
Norbert
Doubtfire,
Leo Butz.
Exclamation point.
Yes, Doubtfire, exclamation point. With Norbert Leo Butz.
As Mrs. Doubtfire.
As Mrs. Doubtfire.
Done.
Great.
I love that.
And I don't know who would play Sally Field's role. Stephanie Block.
Yep. Perfect.
There we go.
Done.
It's all cast, guys. Best of luck.
Yep. Have fun. We'll see
and
you
the Fun Home kids. They could be the kids in that, too. Well, actually, why do they just did Fun Home? They take that cast. They just move into Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah. Same group.
Done.
Done.
I'll even take Janine Tesori as the writer.
Absolutely.
Love that. Come on, Janine.
Bring her on.
Yeah, do something light.
Bring
a little Shrek again.
Bring everybody in. All right. We've cast that. Any other productions we need to do, guys?
Yep.
Wouldn't it be great if that was that easy?
Right.
Just to be like, it's going to be Mrs. Doubtfire.
This, it'll be a hit. So that's
normally,
easy.
Yep.
So done.
Done. Move on. What's the next thing? Ooh.
What's yours, Rob?
All right. 1967.
Good year.
Well, yeah, great year. I still think it's a great year.
Well,
this is the Tony Award winner for Best Musical.
No, it's probably something like Hallelujah Baby or something like that. Or
something like Hallelujah Baby. How about Is Hallelujah
it
Baby?
Is.
You're so good, Kevin.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so impressed.
But wasn't Hair that year as well?
No, that's going to come out after on Broadway. On Broadway,
gotcha.
After that, yeah,
because
Hair was off Broadway.
Oh, duh.
First, yeah. And then I moved,
course,
I think.
Kevin.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, the public.
No,
yeah, sorry,
course,
the public.
Duh.
Yeah. Okay, so out of all the musicals that won Best Musical in the 1960s, only two have not been revived yet on Broadway. One is Fiorello.
Oh, yeah.
One in 1960,
uh-huh.
Tied with Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is Hallelujah Baby.
Julie Stein score.
Once again, Julie Stein, Comden and Green,
uh-huh.
And a book by Arthur Lawrence.
Arthur Lawrence.
Directed by Bert Shevelov. I am actually, to be honest with you, I'm more fascinated by the behind the scenes going on of Hallelujah Baby than I am by the actual score of Hallelujah Baby. So Hallelujah Baby won Best Musical in what many people consider to be a weak season. Because the other nominees that year were The Happy Time, Candor and Ebb.
Oh, yeah.
With Robert Goulet.
Robert Goulet.
Did I ever tell you my story when I saw La Cage with Robert Goulet in it? Do you remember?
With Gary Beach, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you remember they had the revival of La Cage and it was Gary Beach and Daniel Davis?
Yeah.
From The Nanny. The guy from The Nanny.
Yeah.
And they fired, slash, quit, alleged, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just not there anymore.
Yeah.
And they replaced him real fast with Robert Goulet. And I saw the first performance, I think, where they were putting Robert Goulet on.
Oh, shoot.
And I got to say this, he was great most of the time. Honestly, I'm not joking. Like, most of the time,
he was
wonderful.
I watched his song on the sand on YouTube, and it's...
The voice is great.
Yeah, still there.
He had some really nice acting moments. And it's his first time. But anytime something happened on stage that was funny, he would look out at the audience with this look like, isn't that funny? Not stuff he was doing. Stuff like other people were doing.
No.
And I was like, are you part of the audience?
No.
And I loved him so much. I thought he was so good. So anyway,
that's cool. You got to see him live.
I was very lucky.
Yeah, that's nice.
Very lucky. And he did the kiss at the end with Gary Beach.
Yeah.
Remember, in the first La Cage, the guys never kissed each other.
That's right. That's worth remembering.
They never kissed.
Look at the way the times, how they've changed. You know,
they walked off hand in hand after waltzing. And in this one, in the revival, it was really cool. They went underneath. They walked upstage underneath a big full lit moon. And they grabbed each other, and they just made out.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, they were getting to the moment. I'm like, yeah, like Robert Goulet's going to do this.
Yeah.
He went for it.
Good for you,
I'm
Robert.
Like, good for you, Robert Goulet.
You,
thank
Goulet.
You for telling us. God, you're good. So it was a happy time. How Now, Dow Jones.
Oh, that perennial.
Right, that perennial of musical theater.
But it's got some good songs.
It's got some really good songs. And Ilya Darling.
Oh, wow.
So those were the four nominees that year. Hallelujah Baby, Happy Time, How Now, Dow Jones.
I'd call that a week.
It's a week season.
Yeah.
And so Hallelujah Baby won, and it really boosted Leslie Uggams to stardom.
Oh, I love her.
Now, for those of you who are unaware of Leslie Uggams, pre-June is busting out all over, because that's
you.
How this poor woman's career is going to be
poor,
defined.
Poor sweet Leslie.
Leslie Uggams was an incredible young African-American singer in the late 60s. This was her first real professional job. She was an unknown. She'd done a couple of television things, but she was an unknown. Arthur Lawrence apparently used to just say the only stuff she had ever done prior to this was doing The Boyfriend in a Tent in California, meaning that she had just done Summer Stock.
Right.
Not her boyfriend, but the musical.
Which could have happened too. But
I don't know. I wasn't there. Allegedly. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
And friends, if you didn't get the June is Busting Out all Over reference, which I'm sure 90% of you have because everybody knows, but just type in Leslie Uggams, June is busting all over, and you'll bust out all over.
You might want to pause.
Yeah, and just pause right now.
You'll
take out your phone and YouTube that right now.
You'll laugh so hard you'll...
Yeah, so, yes. So Leslie Uggams, like, it was her first time.
So it was her first time on stage, but now here's where it gets really interesting. Are you ready for all this?
Yes.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Here we go. Originally, David Merrick and Stein and Comden and Green and Arthur Lawrence, it was really David Merrick and Arthur Lawrence, wanted to write a musical about the African-American experience from 1900 to the mid-1960s.
Really?
That was the idea.
An all-white team wanted
to talk about
in
a
the
civil
middle
rights
of the
musical.
60s.
Yeah, and here's why.
I mean, that's pretty audacious.
Lena Horne wanted to do a musical, and so she was best friends with Arthur Lawrence, and they had worked on this musical together, and this is what they were going to do together. They were going to do this musical about a one woman's plight from 1900 to about 1964, 65,
wow.
And that was going to be the story. So they put all this work in, they created the whole show, and Lena Horne said, no thanks.
Nope, not good enough.
And walked away.
Wow.
Walked away. And apparently, she and Arthur Lawrence never spoke to each other
again.
Can't say
I'm surprised when it comes to the stories that we've heard about Arthur Lawrence.
Right?
I mean, like, he's not exactly
a little notorious for holding a grudge. So they were trying to figure out who were they going to get. And so they were working on it. And David Merrick said, well, if you're not going to get Lena Horne and you're not willing to change it to try to get Harry Belafonte, bye. And he left.
Wow.
So she dropped, he dropped. You would think that Arthur Lawrence at that point would be like, all right, this just wasn't meant to be.
Not Arthur Lawrence.
Tenacious little man. So he came up with the idea of, instead of trying to get a big star, we'll get an unknown and we'll make her a star.
Wow.
A la Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
And they settled on Leslie Uggams, and that was how Hallelujah Baby came out to be. Now, like I said, if you listen to it, the score is okay, and the only really big song from it is a song called My Own Mornin'. It's, if you watch any of the old Tony Award shows, they would be like, and best musical that year was Hallelujah Baby with Leslie Uggams. And she would come out and sing a little snippet of My Own Mornin', and then she would go away.
Yeah.
And that's pretty, if there's any song, that's probably going to be the only one. But the reason I bring it up is because she really was somewhat incredible and had an amazing, wonderful voice, and her acting in it is actually, I think, if you listen to the recording, quite good. But we know her now as June is... For those of you who don't know what June is busting out all over,
you've watched the clip by now.
You've watched the clip.
You saw her go up on her lines.
She was supposed to
be... The Hollywood Bowl?
No, it was a Rodgers and Hammerstein tribute in Washington.
Some, like, outdoor theater.
It's an outdoor park.
Amphitheater.
And Stacey Keach is narrating.
Yeah.
And they were talking about... He's doing an intro about lyrics. And he goes, and the one thing you have to know about these lyrics is...
Oh, my gosh.
It's got to be good.
I didn't know the setup.
And they go to Leslie Uggams, who's in the middle of the auditorium, and she supposed to come down singing June is busting out all over,
all over the meadow and the land.
She had cue cards, and the cue card guy went away from her for a moment, and so she didn't know what the next lines were. So if you watch it, she's going, June is busting out all over.
The heebas and the jeebas and the weebas.
And she forgot her lyrics. And you know what I say?
Heebas and the jeebas.
You cannot define this woman and her genius by one screw
not
up.
Not fair. Not
you
fair.
You cannot do that.
I know.
I think she's so good.
But it's entertaining, Rob. Oh, is it entertaining?
Are you kidding? I watch it every... Look.
Oh, my God.
What are your favorite YouTube, like, stage screw ups.
Oh,
so we'll put Leslie out.
I have a favorite thing that later on that's going to be one of my favorite like train wreck, not train wreck, but like definitely like. It's kind of like, is it amazing or is it awful? I don't know. It's like Stairway to Stardom. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Stairway to Stardom is like a great one. Again, if we could just mention Stairway to Stardom in every single podcast.
The podcast is now called Stairway to Stardom.
And
Memories.
We just talk about...
Wait, what were you saying?
I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. Maybe you've seen these. So there's on the West Coast, and my buddy Derek Kobe...
I know exactly what you're going to talk about, because I used to live in L.A. and I went to one of those.
Is it where they have to create their own monologues?
Yeah.
And then they...
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Whatever this teacher does, they like... And they record all of the students. And it is so earnest. And that's what I thought. You can't like get mad at someone for really trying. Like, I feel like maybe that's the teacher in me, but like if you are earnest and you're giving it your all, then far be it me to... But far be it me, I'm going to be the one who watches on YouTube and is entertained by you writing your own monologue before you sing one song, Glory, from Rent. And you're just like, you know, I just don't understand like what I need in this world. And do, 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 one song, Glory. And you're like, and he can't hit the notes. And it's just, and then then no need to endure anymore. And then, so he couldn't sing that. So he's just like, and then no need to endure anymore. Acting it, not singing it.
Truth.
Acting the climax.
Hashtag truth.
I forget what the studio is called, but there's like a whole series of them. And I used to, with my buddy, we would just watch all of them.
The big woman, what's her name? Anne Romalo or Anne
Raffalo? Don't act like you don't know her name. You know exactly who it is.
Don't think I haven't sent an email like, asking for coffee.
I think it's Anne Romalo, yeah.
I think it's Anne Romalo at 246 Valencia Boulevard. Apartment 3G. No, okay.
I like that rabbit hole. That's a fun one.
No, I don't blame them, because they want to tell stories and they're like, I want to get better, so
I'm
class.
Pay a teacher.
It's that teacher. Whoever's right. teaching that is sitting there saying, yeah, this is what you're going to do, yeah. and you're letting them get away with it. How dare you?
Good point.
How dare you?
But also,
no.
thank you.
But thank you also.
For the entertainment.
How dare you but, not give us access
but
before
can
you
put,
post
it? Please put them on YouTube for me, please. Thank you.
Be great. Thanks. Thanks.
So, hallelujah, baby.
Hallelujah, baby. So that's mine. I think it's fantastic that I think we should listen to it.
But Julie Stein's score, like that's. But he was hit and miss sometimes. Yeah, and I feel like sometimes the collaborator makes the music. You know, just like I was like, well, Dorothy Fields on Tree Goes in Brooklyn helped elevate. I think. Arthur Schwartz. Yeah, as opposed to when he writes with Dietz. Just like I think Sondheim elevated Richard Rodgers a little bit, even though they hated each other for Do I Hear a Waltz. But I think that he made Richard Rodgers write in a slightly different way. I wonder if Julie Stein was Gypsy was special because of Sondheim, you know? Or if... I don't know. Because that was like the... With Julie Stein working with Betty Comden and Adolph Green, that's got to be like one of their... fifth or sixth musicals that they wrote together.
Yeah, this I think I'm going to say this, and I hope I'm correct. Otherwise, I think I'm going to be correct when I say I want to say that Hallelujah Baby, and somebody out there might be correcting me, was the last musical that Comden and Green and Julie Stein did together.
Oh, I think so.
I can't think of any others after that. Yeah. I'm drawing a blank. I'll look into that.
Okay.
But no, you're right. Julie Stein, it was a very hit and miss. Because you would have something as wonderful as Gypsy and Funny Girl.
Yeah.
And then you would have things like One Night Stand. Do you ever know about Which
was
is
like
in the
literally
80s.
One night, yeah.
And it was literally one night before. That's perfect.
I think I have an album of that.
Yeah, they did make a, you know, Bruce
original
Yeko.
Original Cast Records.
Who we're going to be interviewing.
Which is, thank goodness for that Original Cast Records out label, because they really preserved a lot of shows that would have just fallen by the wayside.
Absolutely.
I mean, would have been... You know, just like, I don't know, like I'm Solomon or something. Like shows that you're like, who cares? Don't know. Doesn't matter.
No, it's important to get these things preserved. And it's and we'll talk to Bruce Yeko about that. But yeah, the Hallelujah Baby, a couple of years ago, I say a couple of years ago, it might have been like 10 now or 15 years, they tried to do a revision of it at George Street Playhouse with Arthur Lawrence, mm-hmm. and it just never took off the ground. So anyway, that's it. Mine this, listen to Hallelujah Baby, won Best Musical Tony Award, and it's...
Yeah. I'm going to.
And you're Rio.
And go watch the movie Rio. And listen to the soundtrack.
Awesome. So this was great. We will see you next week.
Hasta luego.
Please come back to us and look up some of those clips on YouTube because they're pretty epic.
Yeah, they are. June is busting out all over.
The jeepers and the... Because it's June.
June.
Just because it's June. Joan.
Vocal modification on the vowel.
Little Joan. Happy Joan, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.